Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. I'm Catherine, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ellie.
Hello.
We are also joined by our other co-host, Alice. Now, as this is an extra special Halloween episode,
I think I know what's coming.
If we ask very nicely, she might sing us the Halloween song.
Okay, so this is a song that I've been singing since, yes, it's about 8. And yeah, a little treat for you all today. Okay, well, will I get a sing-along? Or does it have to just be me?
Just you.
Just me, okay. Halloween's coming, Halloween's coming, skeletons will be after you. Witches, cats and big black bats, ghosts and goblins too. Ooh, ooh.
Boo!
It's the best song ever. I was like beaming throughout that whole thing.
Great, it's a catchy tune. I encourage you all to sing it this Halloween.
Thank you so much for indulging me. Today we are talking about season 1 episode 7, Haunted. This first aired on October 29th, 2009, so right in time for Halloween. It was written by Andrew Kersberg and directed by Ernest Dickinson. Now, Ernest Dickinson is actually best known for his collaborations with the legendary film director Spike Lee, and he worked as his cinematographer. I know. He worked as his cinematographer on such films such as Malcolm X, Jungle Fever, and Do the Right Thing. He's also a critically acclaimed TV director. He's directed multiple and some of the best episodes of The Wire. He's also worked on shows like Dexter and The Walking Dead. I just can't believe he did an episode of Vampire Diaries.
And so early on as well. This is...
Yeah.
This is the early season one.
This is the only episode he directs of the show.
Do you think he was a friend of someone or do you think he was a fan? And I know it's early on.
I really hope he was a fan.
That's what I really hope too.
Someone must have asked him to do the show and he said yes. I do think he does bring a certain flair to this episode, particularly the end sequence with the party. I think it's like visually interesting. It's dynamic, definitely. Very tense moment. So he directed a very good episode. I was just surprised to see his name there. So in today's episode, it's Halloween. Defin desperately tries to teach a newly turned Vicky how to control her bloodlust, while Elena tries to keep Vicky away from her younger brother, Jeremy. Things come to head at the high school haunted house, where the night takes a heartbreaking turn.
It is really heartbreaking at the end.
Do you feel it's an emotional episode all round, actually? I think you see a lot of what different people are grappling with.
I love extra special holiday episodes of things, so I was really happy that it was a Halloween episode.
Americans go like mad for Halloween is the vibe we always get, but do schools go that hard?
I do. One of my comments here was like, especially the school in Mystic Falls. Is it Mystic Falls High? What's the school called?
I don't know.
But anyway, this school, I feel like there's so much stuff. Like it did the sexy suds. It's gone all out for Halloween. Like the number of, it did the comet thing as well, didn't it? Was that a school event?
We don't know if that was a founding family. Elena and Bonnie were involved in it from that side, or whether it was a school event. I've still got questions about the comet one.
The haunted house is decorated insanely. What is the school budget for these events?
And why is it so easy to get drunk?
Yeah, it's a school-sanctioned event and they're all drunk at the haunted house.
And they all talk about how they were so hungover the year before when they must have been 14, 15.
Yeah, it's wild.
And look, they don't have great parental supervision.
I was going to say, I feel like their budget for parties is better than their budget for teachers.
Well, I think Maya Lockwood and Carol were meant to be there, but Carol's just getting drunk in the grill with Damon, which I don't blame her for.
A great Carol appearance this episode.
Oh, she was great. She looked beautiful. I wrote it down twice on the two different appearances that Carol did look stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So today's episode opens with a little role reversal. It's Tyler being kind of hunted by Vicky. So it's the same kind of scene that they love to start season one with, a creepy vampire attacking someone. But this time, instead of being attacked as she had for 6 seasons of the show, Vicky is the attacker.
She is.
I also thought they did this scene really well, in the sense of you kind of get Vicky's really creepy, but also you do kind of see what she's grappling with. Like she's like, oh, I'm so hungry, but she's trying to sort of avoid it.
Yeah, like she asked Damon not to hurt Tyler, which I was like a bit rich considering that they are stopping you from killing him.
Yeah.
But it's clear she doesn't know. She like doesn't want to hurt her friends, but she also has vampire urges. I love the Salvatore brothers coming in for control.
Yeah.
Their double act I'm really here for this episode.
I really enjoyed how much this episode Damon has like, he's not really even an antagonist episode this episode. He's had to just like fix his own mess.
Yeah.
Like, run after Vicky, try and help her. He's really just like, God, I'm having to get into this like high school level drama now.
Yeah. And makes it when I do love he's just constantly putting Tyler in his place at the beginning. Like you have another one of those punches. He tries to punch Damon, nothing happens. And then he's like, really, who's going to miss this idiot? And yeah. I'm like, yes, Damon.
You're not wrong there.
Not me. I wouldn't miss Tyler at this point.
No.
I have to say there are times throughout this episode that I'm very much on Damon's side. Like, who would miss Tyler? And when Stefan's trying to be holier than thou about human blood, and yes, obviously, don't go killing everyone. But I think actually Vicky should be listening to Damon in this situation of just like learn control and you don't have to kill everyone. I know she's a drug addict and that comes into play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do feel like, yeah, Stefan's speech was definitely kind of, as you said, holier than thou.
Yeah, no, it's the main point of the episode is both Stefan and Damon are trying to introduce Vicky to vampirism in their own way. And Stefan is very much like, we don't feed on humans, we feed on animals. And Damon's like, no, you, I can't remember what he says, you erase.
Oh, snatch, eat, erase.
Yeah, snatch, eat, erase is how you do it. And I would say they're probably neither of them the best mentor. Like, as we meet more vampires, we do see some of them that, like, manage to walk a line of eating human blood and not being horrific monsters.
Yeah.
But Stefan is completely the wrong person to lead Vicky through this transformation. He doesn't have his own blood.
I also think poor Vicky is stuck between sort of a rock and a hard place. She's getting completely different, neither of which particularly useful advice, and doesn't really know what to do. So I think in some ways, both of them trying to help her are her own downfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have literally ruined her life and then killed her.
And they don't give her a chance. Like, she attacks Elena once and they immediately go and stake her. And it's like, actually, she has no chance to grapple with the idea of being a vampire. She's been a vampire for what, less than 24 hours?
Yeah.
And they already kill her off because she can't be trusted. But I do think it's very similar to what you were just saying, Al, where she was like in a rock and a hard place. It's what we've said before about the way they use Vicky in the show is that she's actually just a tool, like her turning into a vampire is a tool for you to see the different places that Stefan and Damon are coming from with vampirism, rather than actually for her to have her own storyline.
Yeah, and I also think throughout this episode even, she's portrayed as far more of a villain than she should be.
She's not, look, she gets like aggressive and violent at certain points, but as Stefan points out, like she's going through this transformation and like all her emotions are so heightened that she almost can't control herself. But she is not a villain and she does not deserve to die. She doesn't kill anyone. Everyone's a fucking murderer in this show. Vicky, like, doesn't kill anyone. And they do have a way to take down vampires without staking them, because we've seen Stefan take down Damon using Vervain. Why didn't Stefan bring some Vervain with him and use that to stop Vicky?
Exactly.
There was no
and
need.
As you come through in the show, there's also lots of other ways that they can temporarily take down a vampire without killing them. And this, like, she just bit, I mean, obviously that's not good, she bit Elena, but There's lots of less drastic things they could have done before resorting to staking Vicky.
Well, I was just going to say, like, Damon's on kill count 11. He's sexually abused Caroline and used her as a human blood bag. And that's apparently
turned
fine.
Turned Vicky against her will.
Yeah, turned Vicky against her will. Fed on her multiple times as well. But he's fine. He can wander around, whatever.
This whole episode, Stefan's talking about the value of life and how we have to respect that. And he talks about the value of human life in particular. Yeah, he has no qualms about murdering Vicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't place any value on her life.
Only Elena's.
Only Elena's.
But I think you see no one seems to really, other than Jeremy, and that's a messed up relationship as it is, no one seems to really care. Like, Jeremy's saying he's not going to go to school for this search party for Vicky. Yeah, Matt's in school.
Oh, I've got that. Matt is just going about his normal day, and then Vicky calls him and he's like, oh good, I was really worried. Well, you didn't look worried.
Yeah. It's so weird. Yeah. So we have, alongside it, we also have like the humans going along about their lives, and we see Elena waking up at the beginning of the episode. Did you notice how many medals and trophies she had on display in her room?
No,
there were so many. She had at least like 3 ribbons, several trophies just right by her bed. So every morning she wakes up and sees how brilliant she is.
No wonder.
Classic Elena.
No wonder she's as self-centered as she is in the show.
And as she wakes up, the song Open Arms by Gary Goo plays, but it has the lyric, right, she opened her eyes, whatever happened to the truth?
I was like, oh, here we go again. But in that scene as well, she goes and she has like a conversation with Jeremy. She does not knock. We've spoken about this bathroom before. It's linked from Jeremy's bedroom to Elena's bedroom. If you know you're sharing a bathroom with your little brother, why are you not knocking?
Yeah, like he was brushing his teeth, but he could have been doing other things.
He could be in the shower, he could be on the toilet, like, and so many things. Not even just those two. Like, I don't understand why she's not knocking.
I don't understand this. I know the shared bathroom is a dream of yours. I don't get it. It's weird, and I don't know why you'd ever want two doors, not close it up and just have one door.
Yeah, I know. I think it was really good in New York Minute.
Fair
they
enough.
Did it really well. I don't know what else you want from me there.
That's okay. We have spoken about the bathroom before.
We can't go in that detail again.
No.
Elena's also a terrible liar. Like, when Jeremy was like, oh, I'm going to do a search party for Vicky, Elena's like, yeah, but you can't miss school. Like, really, just think of something better.
Or, like, pretend like you care.
Yeah.
It just really comes across as, like, we don't care what happens to Vicky. You need to do
this. Which she doesn't,
this,
I guess. You know. But
yeah,
make it less obvious.
Yeah, because then does she skip school to go to the Salvatore house?
She's weirdly in Vampire 101 with Stefan and Vicky. I'm like, why are you still here? She goes to the Salvatore house. I think she doesn't know where Vicky is at that time. When she finds out she's there, then she stays.
Yeah. I do like when she rang the bell and Damon opened the door. I don't think Damon's ever met a door that he doesn't like sexually drape himself over.
Yeah. It was also his little smirk. Like, I think he knew Elena was at the door and he just had a little smirk to himself.
I won't lie, I thought the smirk before and after their conversation I found really cute, like from Damon.
The smirk before and after, maybe a bit much. Pick one, but I liked both of them.
That's why they can't pick one, because the editor knows what he's doing there.
In the editing room, the editor was like, oh, we really should take one of them out. And they're like, we just can't, though. Look at that smile.
He was beautiful this whole episode, particularly in his costume.
Yeah, I did really enjoy Damon this episode.
Yeah, he was fun. When he was like, they were talking again about like she should feed on people or animals, he was like, find someone really tasty. Is it sexual feeding?
I think so. They make it sexual.
Because do they like in particular, because Stefan, at one point we see who he's like fed on in the past, and he does tend to prefer women to feed on. So is it a sexual thing? I think it is.
I think they do. Yeah.
I think they can make it so or make it not so, because I think you sometimes see it as it like it's just a means to an end. But a lot of the time it's very... I think it's also associated with sex a lot.
Well, vampires are always sexy.
Yeah.
Like they just always have been. I don't know why.
I don't know why, but they've always been sexualized in media and things. On that scene as well, I think Damon just loves that Elena's like got no time for him, or will just be a bit like, stop being annoying. If you wanted me dead, I'd be dead by now. So like, just get out of my way if you're not going to kill me type thing. And I'm just like, I do really enjoy their relationship.
I like that. I think it's also another tool to be like, Elena's not like other girls. She's being brave in front of this like big bad vampire.
Yeah.
I also thought another reference from Damon was the like, he's... talks about Stefan doing like a rain in Spain thing upstairs, and I was like, oh, My Fair Lady reference. And I was like, is Vicky meant to be like Eliza? They're trying to like teach her to be a good vampire and
definitely
being torn both ways, which I thought was a
definitely
highbrow for Vampire Diaries.
Well, then Elena shows up to teach Vicky how to be a nice girl.
Then Vicky really does put Elena in her place, which I was quite here for. I won't lie,
look, didn't love the violence, but she needs to be told.
It's quite a, from Vicky's point of view, especially when Stefan's already explained that her emotions are heightened, when she says, all I see when I think about you is the fact that you've led my brother on for 15 years and then you've dropped him. Like, you can get that anger if you're from someone who's like looking at it from a sibling point of view, or even someone that you care about a lot. It was just seeing their kind of heart be broken, and Elena seemed to be fine by it. But Elena was also going through a lot. Matt wasn't her top priority when both her parents died.
I also think it's like, when Vicky's like, how long have you been preparing that speech? I think Elena's always had a thing about Vicky, and they've never, I think, as you mentioned to Catherine in the previous episode, you were like, Elena, Matt has a tender soft spot for Jeremy, and that's just not been the case when you've seen any interaction between Elena and Vicky. She's almost like sort of snubs Vicky previously.
And throughout this episode, like when Stefan's also trying to explain it, I'm just seeing on my notes, and she goes, oh, so she's a vampire with issues. What am I supposed to do about that? It's all about, well, how does that impact me? And what am I going to say to other people? It's not like, oh, poor Vicky, she's got all these issues that she's currently dealing with. How can we help her?
She has no compassion for her at all. It is ridiculous. I did love the delivery of the line by the actress that plays Vicky when she's like, why do I have to pee? I thought I was dead.
I know. Yeah. It's just like, this makes no sense.
And I also heard like casually mentioning the fact she's dead. I don't know why, but it's really funny. She's like, oh yeah, I've died, oops, oh well.
You move on,
we live and learn.
And I feel like meanwhile, when you're getting Vicky going through all this, you then get little snippets about the council. So they talk about Logan and like how he's died, and then Damon in a separate scene's referring to how they haven't like heard anything about Logan, so they start to know that the council knows there's vampires. Yeah. There.
Yeah, the B plot is definitely like Damon working his way into the council. You get first that conversation at the grill between beautiful Carol and her awful husband. But I did like when she was like, should I say it, or is it a he or a she? Carol understanding that respecting pronouns is important.
I wrote down the same icon thing. And I was like, of course, Catherine's going to bring this up. But I did like it. I also really liked where it was, I think they say, I've written it down somewhere, but it's something like, we need to find it before it finds us. And that's when Richard delivers the line, the camera's on Damon and it's him listening. And you're like, oh, guys, sorry, you're
too
already
late.
What we get this episode for the first time is really where Carol excels on the show, and that's flirting and being flirted with a much younger, attractive man.
Yes.
And that's what she loves.
I will say, it takes virtually nothing for her to spill her entire guts out to Damon, which I kind of enjoyed, because she was just being like, yeah, the vervain.
I love
it. Yeah, this.
It's so good. Damon's interrogation tactics are amazing.
Yeah.
Just like more what I was going to say, margaritas, they're more margaritas.
Martinis with
martinis.
Two olives is how Carol has her drinks.
I respect it.
What do you think that means?
It's a little bit dirty.
Hey. Love that. She looked so great in her Gatsby outfit.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm so happy she flirted with Damon.
But she did hold it together, because when Damon was trying to ask about the Founders Council, she was also like, Zach knows how many. So yeah. She does spill a lot.
And then sorts herself.
But yeah, she does then get a little bit better. And another side story is you've got Sheila and Bonnie.
Yeah.
I thought Sheila looked beautiful this episode.
Oh, she had a brown lipstick, which was so gorgeous. I thought she looked great. Yeah.
I also think kind of I really liked the way she was kind of talking about it and talking to Bonnie, and Bonnie was like, oh, but doesn't everyone know, like, everyone knows you're a witch? And she's like, no, but everyone thinks I'm an old, like, no one believes her.
I loved the idea, everyone knows she's a witch. What? What? Like, I know they say she runs like a class at the university, but is she also like peddling potions?
I think she peddles like conspiracy. The vibes we've got from previous episodes is that like she's a drunk, and she has like a lot of conspiracy theories, or she'll always be like, this is because of witches, or like, I think she says things honestly, but in a way that she knows no one will believe.
Yeah. So she's putting the truth out there.
Yeah. But not expecting it to be taken seriously, because she wants it to be secret from that. Why also, I'm sorry, in the scene with Sheila and Bonnie, why is Sheila lighting candles with a match?
No.
A very good point.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. Yeah, surely they can just poof them. Yeah. No. Clearly they wanted her to use a match in that scene for whatever. They didn't want to do the special effect.
They were like, we've done it once. We've done it with a whole room of candles for Bonnie. That's
never
going to get.
as the episode goes on, we see Damon make one of the stupidest decisions ever, which is...
I don't know if it was stupid or if he planned it, because I feel like... So they take Vicky into like the front garden. He teaches her how to like whoosh around like a vampire. And then he's like, oh, my bad. And I don't know if he's planned it all along to create chaos.
See, I don't think it... I think he just didn't think it through.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he was like, oh, you've been cooped up all day. Let's like show you the fun side. But I think he always thought he'd be with Vicky. Yeah. Like, I think when he was like, oh, we'll go outside. And I think he's in the point of view where he's like trying to do the snatchy erase point of view, that if Vicky ended up like going somewhere, he would be with her.
Yeah.
And like, if they met a person, I don't think he would really care about that. He'd just be like, okay, let's not kill them type thing, or like, let's cover our tracks. I think that's two really stupid brothers at this point. Like, like, why they didn't think that she'd suddenly whoosh away.
After they teach her how to whoosh.
I know. And they've kept her trapped in a house.
I know. I did actually like Damon and Vicky's dynamic. I don't know. It was just this like fun, like, let's go outside, let's have a good time. And then...
And he's also, I think, more honest with Vicky than he is with a lot of the characters at this point. She was like, why'd you do it this to me? And he's like, oh, I was bored. And she was like, really? You did this to me because you were bored? And he was like, yeah.
No, I think he was being honest then. That was also when he came out of the bathroom and dried his hands on a dressing gown.
No, thank you.
No.
But I think I also, like their dynamic is a lot better, because you can see when Stefan's saying he's not proud of his past behaviour, it's hinted to, I think, he's putting a lot of things about himself onto Vicky unfairly. But as Damon says, it's like, if she didn't have the best life, it doesn't mean that her like death or her time as a vampire has to be boring and shit, even though it was, because it was only a day and she was kind of trapped for that time. I like the dynamic that he's like, no, you don't have to be, it can be fun, you can go out, you can enjoy yourselves, but within... What he's trying to do is within certain parameters. And I do agree that like neither one of Stefan or Damon, I was more on Damon's side, but it is just like neither one is correct.
At this point, Damon just like loves to like murder people and eat them. So he's not a good role model. But then Stefan, like his cold turkey approach is just unsustainable.
Yeah. And I think it's when, by the sounds of it, when you're a new vampire, like that's all you want.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to really... help that craving. He talks about drinking coffee and like different things. It's like, that's not going
to
help.
Yes, because they're cold to the touch. Is being cold to the touch a normal vampire thing?
Yeah.
So I think it is in like a lot of vampire history, and I don't know, things like Twilight, for example.
They're definitely cold in Twilight.
I do feel like this is something that is not mentioned again ever. On the Vampire Diaries. Ever.
Yeah, because I thought the Vampire Diaries... vampires, as long as they drink blood, their bodies are normal.
That's what I thought as well, until this one sentence in the whole series.
But do you think there's something about animal blood then?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
So actually, like, if you drink animal blood, you're colder.
Maybe. I don't know. They don't come back to it.
They don't, no. And here we are, we can overthink everything as much as possible and try and say there's a reason behind everything.
One thing I do want to shout out this episode was the great phones we got to see. There were so many good slide-up phones. Vicky had the one that I always wanted, where you like slide it up and you've got a full like landscape keyboard.
The Sidekick.
Is that what it's called? They use it in those. Pretty Little Liars loads.
They do. And of course they use it in the OC. There's like ridiculous product placement of it in the OC.
Do they? I didn't think they were that old.
No, there's a bit... Sorry, let's get into the OC. It's in like season 3 and a teacher's having a relationship with a student, and two...
Of course they are.
And two students catch it, and Sandy Cohen, the lawyer, comes in and he's like, my son's just got me this new phone. It's called a Sidekick. It's amazing. It can send photos and it can do
this. They even talk about it. Like,
it's like such bad. Not to give anything away, but it's kind of like the My Wi-Fi bit.
Oh, guys, I love bad product placement, and there is so much in Vampire Diaries, and I cannot wait to get to it. I cannot wait to look in the technology they were trying to peddle to us.
Oh, definitely. But you know, I've always wanted a Sidekick.
Same. Oh my God, I was so jealous of everyone that got one.
If they come back, I'm definitely getting one.
So we then go to the haunted house party. And again, I want to talk through everyone's costumes.
Absolutely.
Because there are some great choices made. So let's start with our guy, Tyler.
Oh, God. That's all I can say.
He was dressed as one of the Spartans from 300. And it's an insane costume to wear because he's just in like...
He's topless, basically.
Was he wearing trousers or was he wearing like...
I think he's wearing shorts.
Was he wearing shorts? Okay. They weren't quite as small as they are in the movie. And a cape. And that was just what he was wearing.
But I think he so wants to be like, oh God, I'm really rich. Like I'm...
Yeah. But the idea of like... Because Tyler's been shown to be this guy that like doesn't care about anything. The idea he must have spent a while planning his Halloween costume is so funny to me.
It's kind of like what will make me look really great and what will make me like be able to get with the girl, essentially.
Yeah. And then we had Caroline and Bonnie.
Both witches.
Both witches. I also love that Caroline gets Bonnie her costume.
Yeah.
I want her to sort out, we've said it before, I want Caroline to just like sort out my life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but it is wild, the idea some, you wouldn't even be like, what am I going to, she just trusted Caroline to pick up her costume, no questions asked.
And then she wasn't really happy with it.
No.
I feel like you can't have it both ways, Bonnie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I liked both their costumes, I thought Caroline looked great. Why was Bonnie in a blonde wig?
No, I don't know if they were trying to be witches from, like,
trying to be Hocus Pocus was the only thing I could think of.
I don't think they look like the Hocus Pocus witches, though, because because there's only one blonde Hocus Pocus witch.
Yeah, and Caroline did.
Yeah, and Caroline was blonde in purple, and then Bonnie was, like, this goldy witch, so I don't know what they were being.
No idea.
There's no need for her to be in a blonde wig, I don't think.
No.
And then we had Carol, which we already talked about.
Carol's outfit, I think, was my favourite this episode.
It was stunning. So
Matt and Lena's were, wow.
Who goes in the same costume that was clearly like a boyfriend-girlfriend costume?
Yeah, it's really weird, right?
It's really weird. I know they didn't know if the other one were going, but like, it's a weird dynamic to bring in.
So Elena goes as like a sexy nurse and Matt goes as a doctor. Even if we accept that Elena is very different now, she never seems like the kind of girl that would have picked a sexy nurse costume, no?
No.
She'd be doing the Daisy Buchanan making a literary reference that she'd be like, no one understands.
I agree, but I think in some ways they were like, she's a different, like, I think in some ways in the show they're trying to say, oh, she's like different now, like it's the trauma of her parents dying, which has like changed her, because they were like, oh, she used to be a cheerleader and love it. She used to do all this other stuff that now they're thinking she's too...
sad. She's really blah now.
Well, as Caroline puts it, but I think the show is trying to say she's like different now.
Yeah.
Like,
or whether it's one that like Matt suggested it, because there's always been lots of hints that like she and Matt weren't really great. So like Matt found this like couple's
costume. Yeah. It just seems very rogue for her.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we have Vicky's costume.
I'm obsessed that Vicky comes as a vampire when she is a vampire. I love it.
Yeah, the balls. I kind
of... So fucking good. I
really enjoy that.
And she looked amazing.
She looked gorgeous. Mm.
Like, she looked freaking so... She was the best dressed at the party, like, by far.
Oh, absolutely. And then Jeremy, as Matt said, came as himself.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But also, it's like, I know that Jeremy went because he got the text from Vicky, but when Elena's like, should we hang out tonight? Let's go to a school Halloween party together. Like, is that something that you want to do with your older sister when she suggests hanging out?
No.
No.
Absolutely. I understand Elena wanting to keep Vicky away from Jeremy because she's like fundamentally thinking she wants to protect him. The way she goes around about it is nuts. Her just being like, you can't see each other, like, it's for the best, Jeremy, let's go to a haunted house together instead.
Yeah. Like, not explain anything, especially when she's had that reaction from Vicky. If anything, it just provokes Vicky to definitely be like, screw you, I'm 110% gonna see Jeremy and I'm gonna do it as and when I want to. To have like no backstory or think through a lie. It's kind of like how Stefan was with Elena, of just being like, you have to trust me, I'm not going to explain anything to you, but this is the situation.
Yeah. So Vicky disappears at the dance and Stefan rocks up to try and help find her, and then they have another confrontation between Matt and Stefan.
Matt's like an absolute idiot in this episode. Like, I get that he's worried about his sister, but in the previous episode, Stefan came in and was like, you're going to be fine, do this, do this. And they trusted him blindly. And now, like, I know it's, I think it's trying to make it seem like he's a good brother, but I think he's just clearly being an idiot because Vicky's clearly not okay in this episode. I mean, they just assume it's drugs because they don't know that. Why would they know that she's transitioning into a vampire?
It would be a bold guess.
It would be bold to then just not even remotely be like, I get you're trying to protect your sister and you don't want to like disbelieve her, but I think he was stupid.
I feel like you'd ask what's going on. You wouldn't be like, just go away. You'd be like, what's happened? Like, he doesn't really question it. He's just like, go away.
I just think from a narrative point of view, this Matt versus Stefan thing is so boring to keep coming back to. Like, why yet again are we seeing them square up to each other twice in this episode?
Yeah, there was no real reason or outcome. Like, it's just,
Also, to know that, like, Matt's not going to do anything, is he?
No.
No.
I also thought that the sort of Halloween party, the way they did the music and the senses, I thought it was a really good way of showing Vicky's, like, struggle when you hear, like, the beating and you see her, like, looking around at all these faces and you kind of, it's just, like, it's all, like, assaulting her senses.
Yeah, and the lights as well. Like, it's just... Yeah, because when you're watching it, you are just like, oh God.
Yeah, it's like overwhelming to watch.
You know, it's really the scenes when they're walking around the party and you're seeing what's going on is like really, really tense. I loved, we got to see like the little like bits of the party that have been set up. Did you guys notice the person whose job was just to lay down with a bunch of like strawberry laces on him?
No.
I did see, is that like... Because I was like, there's a spaghetti trouser man. Is that the same guy? Was it strawberry laces? I was like, oh, is it spaghetti?
It might be spaghetti. But he's part of the haunted house.
It was so... Because I was like, because his trouser... I feel like his trousers, that was like fakely done. Yeah. It was his... I was confused.
But like, imagine someone was, oh, Derek, you're going to love this pie. What you're going to do for the entire event is lay down. And we're going to put some spaghetti on you. And trust me, the girls will come to you. That was his job for the whole evening.
That must have been so boring. The things you overhear, though, do you think he overheard conversations? Because we've said it before, but they talk about vampires at like top volume in a busy...
In the grill.
In the grill. At school. So many things. I wonder what Derek overheard. Love that you've named him Derek. I'm sticking with it.
My go-to name is Jeremy for like these kind of characters, but I can't use them in Vampire Diaries because there is a Jeremy.
There is a Jeremy. I watched this episode with my partner and the whole time, every time Jeremy was on scene, he was like, that's Tyler. And I had to keep being like, no. Like, no, it's not.
Oh, bless him. We also, interspersed with them trying to find Vicky, we get a scene between Damon and Bonnie.
I loved it.
Yeah, this is good.
Which is like the first kind of building blocks of their relation. Like, they've met before in the show, but they have, as the show goes on, they have a very antagonistic relationship with each other. And we see that for like the first time of just Bonnie like being so sick of his shit.
And I feel like she does a far better job of standing up to him about what he's done than Elena. Like, Elena stands up to him in the sense of like, let me in, get me past, like, I'm not scared of you. But Bonnie actually was like, don't talk to me about Caroline, what you did to Caroline.
Yeah.
I was like, at least she's doing... I know she wasn't great in the last couple of episodes with regard to supporting Caroline, but I thought this was at least good that she was standing up to Damon.
Yeah, and being like, leave her alone. I thought that, definitely. And then you get the interesting bit where Damon tries to get his necklace back, and he's burnt.
Yeah.
And then you find out through Sheila that it's Emily Bennett's neck.
When it happens, Bonnie just runs away. She like sees this happen and just full pelts off into the darkness. Because prior to that, she was standing over a cauldron. And that was her role.
The whole night, Bonnie, you stand by this cauldron.
By that cauldron. But no, she just went off into the night. But yes, we see that her ancestor, Emily Bennett, it was her necklace that for some reason Damon has. So there's connections between all the ancestors.
Yeah, and definitely our first hint that like vampires know about witches.
It's another, again, it's another object of the show. So we've dealt with the watch now, and now we're onto the necklace.
Well, we haven't really, because when Damon was talking about it, we know it's a compass.
Yeah,
we don't know anything other than that, so like we still don't really know what it does, how it works, anything like that. But yeah, now we're definitely onto the necklace
and the next chapter of all the random objects in Vampire Diaries that are important for about five episodes.
What did you call them in the last
MacGuffins.
Episode? MacGuffins.
Yeah, so we've got another one.
Very good.
We also have our big action set piece of the episode. So it starts with Vicky and Jeremy, lots of close-ups on licking. Did not care for that.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. It was a... yeah. Intense making out, licking.
Biting.
I wasn't here for her, like, drinking from his lip.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I really didn't like it. I also didn't like she's talking about that she needs to leave town and she can't be there with Matt. And then she's talking about her and Jeremy together forever. And I'm like, you are, when we know the age difference now, and it's like, you're thinking about turning this 15-year-old boy into a vampire so that you can be together forever. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, look, we're justice for Vicky Donovan. She is erratic in this. And like, they needed to stop her in some way. And she needs to stay, not to side with Elena, but she maybe needs to try and stay away from Jeremy because she is clearly dangerous to him. Yeah. She does nearly kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think if Elena hadn't arrived at that time, because then Vicky really goes for Elena, she would have killed Jeremy, definitely.
She really goes for her. Elena was bleeding so much. Like, she had, like, a wound at her side.
So I think that's because Vicky pushed her back and she landed on something with glass. So that I don't think was a bite. I think that was she got cut.
Yeah, she shoves her back. Yeah. But I couldn't work out if that bit was fake blood already. And then she was just like wounded, like bruised by her side. And then she gets bit on her like shoulder neck thing.
I think it wasn't fake blood. I think it was Elena's blood because I don't think it was there before. So it's a lot, it's like dyes like the one side of her like white little nurse's outfit. And then she does like bite her on the neck. So she's got like two quite big injuries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Elena is an action girl. And does she get like a plank of wood?
Like the fact that Elena thinks that she can go up against Vicky, like she doesn't even get a swing in before Vicky like pushes her back. So yeah, like bless her, but no, like wrong tactics. And then yeah, it's all action packed. Vicky's biting Elena, and Stefan just comes straight in.
It's so shocking. Like he comes in straight in and kills her. And I think this is also the first time we've seen a vampire die.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing how they die as well.
See, it's a stake through the heart is what gets them.
And they don't go in, they don't turn to dust. They just, like, go to kind of marbly bits, which is always a different way. And then poor Jeremy is just there. Like, he has no idea what's going on. He's just seen his sister's boyfriend kill his girlfriend. And his girlfriend, like, attack his sister at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think Steve McQueen, who plays Jeremy, is a very good actor, but I did think he was very good in the scene back at the Gilbert house where he's just like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, and it's the first time he's felt even remotely close to 15.
Yeah.
Like that dynamic between Elena and Jeremy when they're talking.
Yeah.
I found it very emotional. But then, like, it cuts to Stefan just eavesdropping on the situation, like, crying by himself on the porch.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, maybe give them a moment.
Won't someone think about how hard this is for Stefan? Never mind, a woman just died.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, but they're always just, they've got to think about themselves. But I thought he was really good there.
I also thought the scene between Elena and Damon after Vicky died was interesting because I think Elena's crying and, you know, it's difficult to know what she's crying for. Like, I don't know if she's crying for Vicky, for herself, for the situation, for her brother.
She's not crying for Vicky.
No, exactly. I didn't want to say it too bluntly, but yeah. but she does, like, confront Damon, and I think that's, like, an interest. It shows their sort of connection again, how, you know, she's like, you do feel it.
We get slap number two.
So good. But yeah, I think it is starting, like, because she says it, and I think I could be reading too much into it, but like what I got from it was that it is starting to matter to Damon as well, or like there is something there between him and Elena, and that's especially when he's like, you're bleeding a lot, like you need to leave,
yeah,
like now, like that type of thing.
Up to this point, Damon has been the only antagonist of the show, and every episode he's been the antagonist. This one he wasn't, Vicky was, and whether we think that's not fair, she was. So we're starting to get Damon being seen by the show in a slightly different way. So with his relationship with Elena, that's growing, and maybe he is seeing her differently because he does volunteer to erase Jeremy's memories. And why does he do that unless to get on Elena's good side?
Because he says, if that's what you want, yeah. Like he checks with her mm-hmm. that that's what she wants. I have so many things to say about this. I don't think it should be up to her. I think it's ridiculous that she's, I know that she wants to make it better for Jeremy like straight away, but I think it's ridiculous that she's taken that decision away from him and not letting him like process or adjust what has happened. And at the same time, she's having a conversation with Stefan about how she can't erase her memories because she can't erase how she feels about Stefan.
But she's and I'm just like, yeah.
I think it's awful what she does.
Yeah.
I also think after everything that they've been through, and this comment I made wrote down, but after everything they've been through, Vicky's just died, her brother's distraught. She's like, I can't erase my memories because I care too much about Stefan. Like, that's the thing she cares about at this point. And I just think, after everything, that's what matters to you?
It's not helping Jeremy through this situation of like what he's just seen. It's not helping Matt because like that conversation between Elena. So Elena's leaving, Vicky's just died, and Matt's like, I can't find Vicky anywhere. That conversation, she's like just not there. She's like, no, I haven't seen her.
Yeah, and then she goes and cries in a car. And I'm like, people can still see you, Elena. You're just in a car. Elena has no respect for her brother, like as a person. She just doesn't care. It's abusive what she does. She's like, fine, take his memories away. This is what I want. So it's the right thing. And also like, it's dangerous for him, like to live in this town where you know there are still vampires. You know Damon, even though in this episode he might not have been like a villain, you know he's about and has threatened Jeremy before.
And can get into the house.
You put him in a dangerous situation by taking the memories of vampires away. I don't understand why she thinks it isn't more important for him to know, because he's just left more vulnerable, not understanding the world.
I think, yeah, I completely agree. And it's just, obviously he's shocked. Obviously he's going through a lot. And he mentioned it earlier in the episode that he has been really struggling with his parents' death. And like, Vicky had been in every good moment for him in his like recovery and processing time. So obviously he's distraught right now, but to assume to be like he can't get through it, obviously it will be really hard, and obviously he's going to go through a lot. But just to take that choice away from him and assume that what you're doing is right rather than helping him process and learn about things.
Yeah
And also that could be his choice. If he feels so distraught that he feels like he isn't getting through it, he could decide that he wanted
He help doesn't even know way. It's an option.
He just
gets done to him. It's awful. It's a hard episode to watch in some respects, because we also have Vicky's death, and we've talked about they've killed main-ish characters before. Vicky wasn't just like a co-star. The actress was a recurring character, so that's one of the core characters in the cast who's killed by episode 7. Think how much we've I think every episode of this podcast, at least like 10 minutes of it, has been talking about Vicky, because she's been so important to the story. And then to like suddenly kill her, we've talked about how fast the show moves, but you think they'd at least have a couple of episodes of Vicky being a vampire, but nope, one and done, she's dead, we move on, we've got other things to deal with.
Even that, like, she has no time to process, she has no time to do anything, because they don't treat her as a character unless it's relevant for another character storyline.
Like, even in death, it is not about Vicky, it's about how hard it is for all the men around her. It's awful. I feel so bad for the treatment of this character.
Same, but at the same time, like, I'm really glad that we don't have to talk about the Tyler, Jeremy, Vicky dynamic.
Yes, I will not miss that.
So we've ended one of our love triangles.
Goodbye.
By death. So overall, I really liked the episode. I thought it was good, scary one. Love a Halloween episode.
I love how hard like schools go for this kind of thing.
Do they go that hard? What is the budget?
I want to say yes.
What is the budget for events at that school? This is why they can't hire more teachers.
Well, I think it's the budget for the town, you know, because they go all out for different things.
They really do. I also feel like in so many American shows, schools are portrayed to have like insane events like this, that there must be some grounding behind it. And I don't know if it's just like select schools that do it. But
I think they go like more than we do, definitely, particularly for Halloween. The UK, it's like we maybe do a little stuff, like some kids go trick-or-treating and like older people will dress up, but it's not like a big holiday here. So I think it is bigger but it cannot be this big. The entire school was like covered in toilet paper. Like it cannot be that big.
No, and obviously there were like no, I know we've said it before, but there were no chaperones. So like,
well, because there's no teachers. Mr. Tanner's dead. So this
that's
no
it. It's anarchy. It.
Yeah, like can you just have a bunch of students just like rampaging around the school late at night?
No, surely. Also, it's weird that drinking? It's at the school. Like, it's.
I find it weird that it's at the school.
I wouldn't find it weird if it was in like the gym.
Yeah.
And it was just one room, but it is the entire school is yeah, open to, for this. It's so bizarre.
It makes no sense. Like, why aren't they doing a Halloween party in the woods like they did their back to school party?
Yeah.
Just like what? Like, who really wants to go to a party at school?
That's because there's loads of alcohol there, apparently.
But yeah, why wouldn't you assume it's like someone else, like Tyler, does a massive house party at the Lockwood Mansion?
I just think, instead of being concerned about the vampires, the only adults we see in this town need to pay a little more attention to things that are happening closer to home, because these kids are out of control.
Yeah. They really are. God, they are.
Do you know what time I think it is?
Stats time.
It's stats time.
Hey.
So we want to get into the detail behind Vampire Diaries. So we are keeping track of all the relationships in the show, who dates who kisses who, etc. And we are also keeping track of who is the biggest murderer in the show, who takes the most lives, and how many times all the characters come back to life. So we're now keeping track of three whole things.
We are. It's very exciting.
So what do we have to add this week?
So really interestingly, every episode so far, there's only been one murderer. And so far that has been Damon. But this time there's a new murderer.
Dum, dum, dum.
We add Stefan to the chart.
Boom. And he got a big kill in. Damon's killed a lot of nameless characters.
He has killed Mr. Tanner.
He's killed a few named ones, but Stefan's got a big one for the first.
Yeah. He does.
And he goes in. Oof,
a dramatic kill, I'd say.
So far the kill count is Damon on 11, Stefan on 1, and Vicky's come back to life once.
And I don't think we had any relationships. We had some flirtation, don't get me wrong, but...
I would love to put Damon and Carol together, but we can't confirm.
We can't, unfortunately. But God, I wish we could keep trying.
I would love the idea that Damon and Carol are like canoodling somewhere in the grill and then they both go to the school of hair and just like go their separate ways.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I loved it. Also, it was weird when she was like, aren't you Caroline Forbes' boyfriend?
Yeah.
Never forgets a face, does Carol?
No, but I do love the role that like Damon plays somehow, that he's like young enough to come into like the high school drama, but then he's old enough to have these flirtations with their parents.
Let me tell you, he's not young enough to be Damon.
he's meant to be.
Yeah.
I do agree.
How old is he meant to be? Like mid 20s?
25. 25. He's been through this. He's meant to be 25. Actor is, I think, in his 30s.
Yeah.
So he looks quite a lot older.
Well, given that Stefan at 17 is played by a 27-year-old.
Yeah. But no, Carol is flirting with a 25-year-old stud.
She's going in hard.
Oh, love it. I loved when she was like, what way around was like, you're flirting, but you were flirting first. God.
I love the whole dynamic. We actually didn't mention in that scene, Damon tries to compel Carol and he can't. She's already on Vervain.
And he notices it's like in her bracelet, I think.
Yeah. And she is concerned about getting it for the kids. So that's at least some parenting, I guess.
Yeah.
Yet again, no Jenna this episode.
No Jenna.
Yeah, where is Jenna?
I don't know, actually.
She's been gone. There's too much stuff is happening at the like Gilbert house when Jenna's not there. Like... Do you think people across the street are like, why are the Salvatore brothers always standing outside? Please, Elena, please.
No, I know. I also have a little bit of trivia.
Woo.
So this is the first holiday episode of The Vampire Diaries. As we've said, it celebrates Halloween and it takes place on the 31st of October, 2009. So it's officially been about 2 months for everything that's happened. We don't get another holiday episode until we get a Christmas episode in season 4, O Come All Ye Faithful. And then we get a Thanksgiving episode in season 6. And our final holiday episode is also in season 6.
Me and Alice we gave each other such an excited look when you talked about the season 4 Christmas episode.
It's a good one.
So we have to wait ages to get another holiday episode. And that's partly because the rest of the show takes place in a very small amount of time.
because it moves at a breakneck speed.
Yeah. It, like, a year has passed and it's been three seasons at one point. It's crazy. My other bit of trivia, in the original script, Jeremy killed Vicky. And Jeremy was forced to choose between saving Vicky or his sister and chooses Elena. They actually had to reshoot the death scene with Stefan killing Vicky instead.
Do you know why they made that switch?
I don't know, actually.
I would have preferred it.
I don't know if you would buy that Jeremy would kill Vicky. I think, like, he's not there. Like, he doesn't know anything about the supernatural. He didn't really know what was going on.
I also didn't know if he'd know how to kill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So we see in this, like, one way to kill a vampire is a stake through the heart. Traditional, classic, love it.
And I guess also if you're trying to build, like, Stefan will do anything to protect Elena, and they have this, like, they can't change nor forget how they feel about each other.
Yeah, and I guess it's more interesting because Jeremy's memories were taken away. There's no point in him killing Vicky because he doesn't have to grapple with that. Whereas, like, Stefan, because he keeps the memories and remembers what happens, he then has to be the character that lives with the facts. He killed literally someone that didn't do anything, really. Like, he just murdered this. And obviously then you're going to have, like, Stefan seeing Matt and having to, like, feel that guilt. Whereas if Jeremy kills him
and forgets,
there's no guilt there. There's nothing to explore.
That's very true. I potentially have a bit of trivia. Well, it was on the trivia that pops up on the screen when you're watching the episode. But you know how you said Damon's talking about the rain in Spain? It's apparently My Fair Lady, 1864.
Interesting.
Oh. Same time.
Same time.
Love that for him.
I know. He's keeping it. He's keeping it in his head, anything.
So is that all we have to say for this week?
I think so.
We've definitely closed, like, the first chapter of the show, like, which is very Vicky based. So now we're moving on into something new, and we don't really know. We didn't even really have a cliffhanger that this was left on. No. I checked to see if it was the mid-season break. It's not. That comes later. But we've ended kind of our first bookend of the show, I think, quite nicely.
Yeah, I think we obviously do have things, like, naturally still in the pipeline, but I do agree a lot of it has been focused, like, Elena now knows about vampires, the Vicky Tyler Jeremy things put to bed.
Thank God. I wish it could have ended by the other two dying, but thank God it's over.
If only. And then we've got Bonnie is exploring her witch abilities.
Yes, hopefully we get more witchy stuff and more grams.
I think there's, like, hints. There isn't a cliffhanger, which actually is interesting, because I think every other episode there is, and I hadn't clocked that.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely, like, hints of things to come.
They keep you guessing.
So we will leave you here for today. We do have a couple of plugs. You can follow us on Twitter.
Missing Mystic Fools Pod.
Nope.
Every time we get the Twitter wrong.
You can follow us on Twitter.
Miss Mystic Pod.
Perfect. Or you can follow us on Instagram.
Missing Mystic Fools Pod.
Perfect. And as we are a new show starting out, the most helpful thing you can do is, I'm told, give us 5 stars on the app of your choice. / if you know someone who likes Vampire Diaries, please tell a friend.
Thanks, guys.
So we will be back next week. Bye.
Bye.